I thought about those words, "He is not here, he is risen." And it really was the day that the world changed. There's a lot of days that changed the world. I think of when the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and this day will live in infamy. And you know what? No, this day will live forever. This is the day that will live forever. Scholars have identified this place as the tomb that was given to Jesus by a wealthy man. And this is where scholars believe that Jesus was entombed. On Friday night, we had a Good Friday service. And to be honest with you, I've seen the videos a lot of times, and I have mixed emotions. On the one side, I look at what Jesus did for me. On the other side, I look at what they did to him. And so I had these mixed emotions Friday night as we were watching these videos. Necessity, yes. He had to pay for our sins, because nobody in this room can offer enough to God to pay for your sins. But on the other end, to be honest with you, I didn't like what they did to Jesus. But then I go back to the fact that he did that for us. And so now we come to this resurrection day, and this is what we're going to look at. First of all, on the back of your outlines, you'll see that Jesus, and there's a blank, just write rose. Jesus rose from the dead, and we look at the empty tomb in verses 1 through 4. And the scripture says, now after the Sabbath, that was Saturday evening, after the sun went down, that ended Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, which would have been Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Now, Mary is probably the wife of Clopas, and also Mary Magdalene probably appears in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, who was one of the women that had seven demons cast out of her. So here you have these two women that are coming to the tomb and probably coming to with sadness, with sorrow, maybe even mixed with disbelief. There was this aura of sadness and hopelessness, but then these women arrive and it's a different situation. I'm going to give you some thoughts on verse 1. First of all, the women were going to anoint the body of Jesus for burial. So they would have had all the spices with them to anoint the body. It was probably a very somber moment. They thought he was probably not going to be raised from the dead because they're going there for burial. But again, the scene changes very quickly. A second thing I would want to note, and why Christianity is so different from any other religion in the world, is women were not credible witnesses at the time of this. So the first two witnesses, or three witnesses, depending on which translation you read, were women. You would not build a witness at that time on women. They simply were not credible. They would always take the man's witness over the woman's witness. So right at the beginning, Jesus chose to reveal the resurrection to women, because that would change in the New Testament. He says that when we come to Christ, there's neither male nor female, Greek or Jew. We are all one in Christ. There was going to be a new day dawning, and I find it fascinating that the first witnesses to the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ were women. You would not do that in that culture. And then we read on. And behold, scene changes. There was an earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. There was another earthquake. And I found this interesting too. There was another earthquake in chapter 27. And this was right at the death of Jesus Christ. So you have an earthquake at the resurrection of Christ. But did you know you also had an earthquake at the death of Jesus Christ? Watch this. And this is chapter 27, verse 51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Foreshadowing. This is a foreshadowing. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went to the holy city and appeared to many. Secular humanity, watch this. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what had took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So here you have an earthquake at the death of Jesus, and here you have an earthquake at the resurrection of Jesus. Why is that? Anytime you see earthquake in Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, God is saying, look. Look. Pay attention. This is real. This is something that I am doing. This is something that not the earth is not just convulsing on its own. I am causing this to happen. I experienced an earthquake in my heart on October 12th, 1981. That was the day that Jesus Christ shook me inwardly, when I realized for the first time in my entire life that I was a sinner and needed to be saved. That was my earthquake. And there have been many earthquakes in this room. If I went around and asked you the day that you trusted in Jesus Christ, you can honestly say that was your earthquake. God was getting your attention, and you trusted in him as Lord and Savior. Notice he goes on and he says, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. Purity, God's presence. Not Jesus Christ, but an angel. And oftentimes in Scripture, angels are used to validate messages. So here you have two women. By the way, in just a few verses here, you're going to see that there were guards that testified to it, and the plan that evolved from that witness. But here you have an angel sitting on the stone. He had rolled the stone away, and now he was sitting on top of the tomb. That was God's way of saying Jesus didn't need to do that. Jesus was already raised from the dead. He was already gone. He was already raised. He had already defeated death. It was the God's way of showing the women and those that were there when he rolled the stone away that the grave was empty. You do realize, brothers and sisters, that our entire Christian faith boils down to this testimony. If this is false, you can shut the Bible up and you can go home, because everything focuses on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything. Matter of fact, if this did not come true throughout the Old Testament, because the Old Testament prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ, prophesied all this was going to take place, and Jesus himself said, destroy this temple and it will raise in 3 days. Everything that was, this was the most crucial moment in history. And by the way, might I add, Christianity, exclusively, no other religion in the world, any religion in the world, claims a risen Savior. You do realize that. We are the only religion, and I call religion, we're the only religion that establishes a dead Savior and a risen Savior. Now notice, as we move forward, we go into the angel's message now, 5-8. But the angel said to the women, I love this. Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Again, brothers and sisters, these words change history. It alters not only history, but it alters eternity. These words right here validate our trust in Jesus Christ. So what does this mean practically for us? These are practical things that I think it means. First of all, I think it means it validates Christ's claim. When Christ said, to see me and to see me is to see the Father, he meant it. When he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that if you destroy this temple in 3 days, it will rise. And they were like lost. They go, destroy this temple? And Jesus said, no, destroy this temple. If you kill me, I will rise in 3 days. They could not comprehend the message that Jesus had. It validates the claim of Christ. I am the Son of the living God. And when you go back and you look at, and I would encourage you to go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look at the events of Jesus' life. It all culminates with this. I mean, everything that Jesus did, feeding 5,000, all of this is miraculous. Nobody has done this kind of stuff since. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to lay a case here. All of this is proof that Jesus is God's Son. Then you have, I think it validates Scripture. Let me just say this. You all remember the story of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3 when man fell, sinned, and then God set them out of the garden. Did you know God knew that event before it happened? Because this is the way I like to explain God. Back when God was creating the world, he had already seen the plan all the way to the end. And he knew that Adam and Eve would sin, and he knew he would have to send Christ. He knew that Christ would have to go to the cross to pay for our sins. He knew that there would be a resurrection, and he knew that someday there was going to be a judgment. So what you have here is God outside of time creating the world, and knowing everything that was going to take place. And by the way, God is moving the world events to the culmination of his plan. So now you have God on this side, looking back, drawing the world to the return of Jesus Christ and to the establishment of his throne forever. You guys believe that? I do. This is the best one. It gives us hope beyond the grave. 26 years of pastoral ministry have taught me one thing. There is a difference when a believer passes. Because I've also seen unbelievers on their deathbed. And let me just say this. Fear abounds. Fear abounds. I've seen some of my friends in this church pass away, and I do mean friends, and I've seen them singing in their final hour, singing and praising God in their final hour. Where does that come from? It comes from the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and the security that we have in Christ. Look, and I've talked to unbelievers about this. I say, how can you say so confidently that there's nothing beyond this life? Have you ever been? Well, no, I've never been. Then how do you know? We can face tomorrow because we know he lives. Brothers and sisters, this is our moment with Jesus. This is our, and my brother said today, this is Super Sunday. This is Super Sunday. And I would go one step further and say this is Victory Sunday. This is our victory. I can't say that enough. You know this is our victory. This is our victory celebration. We win. Satan and the demons and those that are lost lose. It also assures us, if this is true, and this is true, and this is true, then this must also be true. Let me say this. You can say you're trying to guilt us, you're trying to scare us. Okay, that's a valid argument. But I'm going to tell you this. If this is true, and I believe every word in the Word of God is absolutely true. If this is true, then judgment must also be true. And if judgment is true, then there's coming a day when those who reject Jesus Christ will stand before God and give an account of their lives. And the outcome of that event is separation from God for all eternity. This is not something that we should take lightly, and it's not something that we should play with. If I was a lost person and I was dying, I would be scared to death. I've just seen too many believers die joyfully to know that my Redeemer lives. And that's how we can approach this. Then you have the risen Savior. So we have the empty tomb, the angel's message, and then you have the risen Savior as we continue. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. I have pondered this verse. Do you know what I think about this verse? I think this is the first place in Scripture post-resurrection where we had a worship service. This was the first, what we would call, New Testament worship service. Jesus raised from the dead, and they grabbed their feet. And there's so many things, I've said this myself, I wonder what my first thing will be when I see Jesus face to face. I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to bow down, grab his feet, and worship. We have the empty tomb. We have the angel's message. We have the risen Savior. Three key evidences. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee, and there you will see me." Our message is not to hide the truth, but to share the truth. Our message today is to go out into the world and to tell the world, you don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to be afraid of this life. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he will save you, and you have hope for the future. That should be our message. He says here, go and tell the world. Go and tell them to go to Galilee and see me there. And by the way, if we need more evidence that Jesus is God's Son and that everything that he said he would do, he did, we also have 1 Corinthians 1:15. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. I don't know much about courts, but I do know this, that usually prosecutors will try to present credible witnesses, right? If you've got somebody that's on trial, you want to present credible witnesses. And if I'm on a jury, if I'm sitting on a jury and the prosecutor goes, "I've got 520 witnesses that saw this person do this." Okay. And they parade 520 plus witnesses to the witness stand. "We saw it, we saw it, we saw it." What is the inevitable outcome going to be of that testimony? Guilty. Let me tell you this morning, as your pastor, that Jesus Christ is guilty of being the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is guilty of loving people and wanting them to have a personal relationship with him. He is guilty of reaching out to the world and saying, "This is how much I love you. I forgive all of your sins. They are done. They are finished." And yet we have people who will buck the scripture, buck all the evidence, and say, "No, I don't want to do that. I don't want that." What they're saying is they don't want to fall at the feet of Jesus and worship him. I started out as a young believer struggling with my own faith, but as I've grown in my faith and my understanding of Scripture, I am just convinced that He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I know that my Redeemer lives. I go to the great beyond with that, full of confidence. 500, over 520 witnesses. How does the world respond? Let me show you. Sound like Ray Vanderland there for a minute. Let me show you. But the world denies it. The world denies it. Now listen to this. Here you had these guards that were like dead men. Watch what happens in verse 11. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priest. That's the first mistake. They weren't on board to start with. All that had taken place. So here you have these guards. And by the way, why would they guard the tomb? Somebody in that government realm and the religious realm said, you know what? You need to put guards on it so that we can shut him down. These guards right here, do you know what happened to them if a prisoner got away? This picture doesn't show it, but there were seals that were over this, keeping it locked. Serious business. They'd go out to the guarding spot and they would stand there. And they would guard. And when they relieved, another group would come in and they would guard that tomb 24 hours a day. Why? Because their life was on the line. Now you might understand when that tomb rolled away and he was gone, because they were getting ready to pay for their own life. They let him get away. But they couldn't have held it. They couldn't have held him anyway. They weren't going to keep him in there. And the other, in 27, we saw where the guy said, this, and the centurion said, this was the Son of God. There's no doubt about that. Now watch what happens. As we go to the cover-up, watch this. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. This smells like a cover-up. Doesn't it? Doesn't it smell like it to you? Something's not right here. And said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while others were sleeping. Do you know some accounts during this time from the historian Josephus records that some of the stories being spread about Jesus was that his body was thrown out and eaten by dogs? Well, that's hard to do when you got soldiers watching the tomb. They're going to be killed. And I tell you what, if I'm a soldier, I'm watching that tomb, and because my life's on the line. Stole him away while we were asleep. And by the way, this is a ridiculous claim, because if you're sleeping on duty in the military, at least in those days, do you know what happened to you? You're killed then. But they're paying him off. And if this comes to the governor's ears, Jesus rose. If this comes to the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So watch this. The soldiers what? Took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread even among the Jews to this day. Can you see them in their pompous religious institution there, devising a scheme? You have payoff, you have lies, you have scandal. On the other end of the fence, you have truth. This kind of looks like our government today, by the way. Let me just say this. Who do you believe? On this Easter morning, who do you believe? I want you to understand something clearly before we leave here today, is that you do not ride the fence. When you do not make a decision about Jesus, you have made a decision about Jesus. There's no middle ground. You're not going to, when you pass from this life, if you do not leave with Jesus, I can tell you today, and God will remind you that you heard, everyone here today will have heard the truth, that you must trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is a judgment coming, but the good news is we have victory in Christ and the resurrection. Let me say this too. This is not about being religious or belonging to a church. The Southern Baptist denomination, which I belong to, saves no one. Only Jesus saves. The Methodist, the Catholic, the Presbyterian, all other denominations, some of you may belong to them, do not count on your denomination to get you into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ and Him alone will get you into the kingdom of God. Or you can do this. I don't believe it. You know, stuff was corrupt back then. All right. One of my favorite teachers. I'm going to show you a video.
The stone in front of the tomb must have been very large. This one, the channel is more than a foot wide. The stone must have weighed several tons here. We don't know, of course, exactly where Jesus' tomb was, but it was a very large stone. So when the unleavened bread feast was over, when Shabbat was over, and the women came through the streets of the city that was awakening on Sunday morning, they wondered who would roll away the stone. Now, I had always understood that the sequence of events that morning were that an angel came down and rolled that stone away with great power. And Jesus came out of the tomb and returned to His Father. And then the women and later the disciples came to look in to see that the tomb was empty. But if you read the text carefully, that's not the sequence. The sequence was Jesus came out of the tomb. Then the angel came down and rolled away the stone so the disciples and the women could come and look in and see that He was alive. And that's an important detail, for there is no stone, not the tombstone the size of this one or any of the other rolling stones that have been found around this country, not even the 650-ton stone Herod put in the Temple Mount could hold back the power of the Messiah, God's Son, when it was time for Him to come back from the dead. And it was on the feast of first fruits, the day in which the Jewish people brought to God the very beginning of their spring harvest, the very first part of their fruit, to say, God, this is all I have, but I give it to You because I know You'll provide for me the rest. And Jesus was raised on first fruits. And as Paul says, He was the first fruit of those who were raised from the dead. His resurrection is the proof, the evidence, the commitment He made that all of us, His followers, will be raised, resurrected one day.
I close with this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. My prayer for you today is that if you have not found Jesus Christ, that you will. And let me say this, that if you have not found Jesus Christ, would you at least read the Scripture? Would you at least, instead of rejecting it, would you at least read the Scripture through and make a well-organized understanding of who Jesus was and then trust in Him? For the rest of us, this is our victory day. This is our Super Sunday. May God bless you and your family today. May God give you peace in your home, peace in your heart, joy in your heart, joy in your spirit. And know this, every sin that you have committed is done. You are under the grace of God.